What if the entire sweep of human civilization could be understood through what we drink? From the moment grain fermented in a forgotten clay pot to the fizz of a Coca-Cola can cracking open, beverages have done more than quench our thirst. They've built pyramids, sparked revolutions, funded empires, and connected continents. Each sip carries the weight of history, yet we rarely pause to consider how profoundly these liquids have shaped our world. Beer turned nomads into farmers. Wine fueled philosophy and empire. Spirits drove the slave trade and revolution. Coffee sparked the Enlightenment. Tea built Britain's global dominance. And Coca-Cola became the liquid embodiment of American power. These aren't just drinks, they're technologies that transformed human destiny. 12,000 years ago, humans discovered that wet, stored grain fermented into an intoxicating beverage. Some anthropologists argue this discovery sparked the agricultural revolution. Humans settled to ensure steady grain supplies for beer making. In ancient Mesopotamia and Egypt, beer became civilization's defining drink. Pyramid workers received 4 liters daily as wages. The Epic of Gilgamesh captures beer's transformative power. When wild man Enkidu brings 7 jugs, he became expansive and sang with joy and turned into a human. Beer marked the boundary between civilization and savagery and birthed writing. Temples tracking grain distributions created clay tokens that evolved into pictograms. Wine sparked intellectual revolution. Costing 10 times more than beer, wine became the elite's drink until Greeks democratized it at symposia, formal drinking parties where men debated ideas while mixing wine with water. Unmixed wine was considered barbaric. Plato saw wine as a character test, building courage through controlled exposure. These gatherings became laboratories for Western philosophy and democratic ideals. Romans emphasized hierarchy through wine quality, while Christianity elevated wine to sacred status through the Eucharist. Europe's drinking divide persists. Wine dominates former Roman territories, beer prevails in the north. When Arab scholars refined distillation in the 8th century, they created aqua vita, water of life, celebrated for medicinal miracles. By the 15th century, distillation shifted from medicine to recreation. Northern Europeans transformed beer into powerful drinks. Gaelic whiskabita became whiskey, while burnt wine became brandy. These concentrated spirits became the lubricant of history's most shameful trade. European traders discovered brandy's advantages: less ship space, resistant to spoilage, and higher prices. Traders presented massive alcohol quantities as gifts before negotiations. Over 4 centuries, 11 million enslaved Africans crossed the Atlantic in ships carrying both human cargo and the spirits that facilitated the trade. In 1647, Barbados planters distilled sugar waste into Killdevil, soon shortened to rum. This closed a brutal triangle linking spirits, slaves, and sugar. Rum embodied early globalization. Made from Polynesian sugar, introduced to Europe by Arabs, taken to the Americas by Columbus, and cultivated by African slaves. When the Royal Navy adopted it in 1655, Admiral Vernon diluted it with lime juice, accidentally creating grog, reducing scurvy, and contributing to British naval supremacy. England's North American colonists faced constant alcohol shortages until rum arrived. New England merchants began distilling their own from imported molasses. By 1750, Boston alone had 63 distilleries. When colonists bought cheaper French molasses instead of British, angry planters pushed through the 1733 Molasses Act, imposing heavy duties. Colonists simply ignored it, smuggling French molasses and bribing officials. The unenforced law made smuggling socially acceptable and united colonists against British authority. John Adams later noted that molasses was an essential ingredient in American independence. After independence, Alexander Hamilton's federal excise on spirits sparked the 1794 Whiskey Rebellion, highlighting tensions over federal power that still resonate today. As Europe emerged from its alcoholic haze, coffee arrived as the perfect stimulant for the Age of Reason. French historian Jules Michelet called it the mighty nourishment of the brain that illuminates the reality of things. A 1674 London poem praised it as a grave and wholesome liquor that helped regulate the working day. Coffee originated in 15th century Yemen, where Sufis used it during religious ceremonies. By 1510, it had spread to Mecca and Cairo, though authorities feared coffee houses would become centers of political debate, which they promptly did. London's first coffee house opened in 1652, and despite King Charles II's brief suppression attempt, hundreds flourished by century's end. These establishments revolutionized information exchange. For the price of a coffee, patrons accessed news, conducted business, and joined intellectual discussions. Coffee houses clustered by specialty: politicians near St. James's, literary figures at Will's, businessmen around the Royal Exchange. Lloyd's became the world's leading insurance market, while Jonathan's evolved into the London Stock Exchange. Adam Smith wrote much of The Wealth of Nations in the British coffee house. Today's coffee culture echoes this history, with Wi-Fi replacing pamphlets as the medium of exchange. As the British Empire expanded across a fifth of the world's surface, tea transformed from luxury to necessity, the beverage fueling both imperial ambitions and industrial revolution. This quintessentially English drink came from China, yet embodied Britain's self-image as a civilizing power. When Europeans reached China in the 16th century, they encountered a superior civilization permitting only limited trade. Dutch traders brought tea to Europe in 1610, and British consumption exploded from 6 tons in 1699 to 11,000 tons by 1799. Tea united British society from palace to factory, generating over 60% of East India Company trade and 10% of government income. Tea's Industrial Revolution role proved crucial. Unlike beer, caffeine kept factory workers alert during long shifts. Its antibacterial properties reduced waterborne diseases, allowing workers to inhabit dense cities without epidemics, creating a larger labor pool precisely when industrialization demanded it. But tea's global impact turned darker. The East India Company's opium for tea scheme addicted thousands of Chinese. When China ended the trade in 1838, Britain launched the Opium War, forcing humiliating treaties that began China's century of humiliation. The great irony? Tea grew wild in Assam, a region Britain conveniently invaded. Applying industrial methods, regimented plant lines, mechanized processing, Indian production costs fell to a quarter of 1872 levels by 1913, dooming Chinese exports. Tea didn't just reflect British power, it was the liquid fuel making empire possible. Just as tea embodied British imperial reach, Coca-Cola mirrors America's global dominance. By 1900, America had overtaken Britain as the world's largest economy. By century's end, Coca-Cola became America's most recognized brand, embodying freedom and consumerism to admirers, ruthless capitalism to critics. Coca-Cola's official origin claims accidental invention in 1886, but John Pemberton was an experienced patent medicine maker. After Atlanta prohibited alcohol, he developed a non-alcoholic version of his French wine Coca. Asa Candler acquired it for $2,300. When sales quadrupled to 8,855 gallons in 1890, he abandoned his other remedies. Through traveling salesmen, free samples, and advertising, he expanded nationwide, reaching 76,000 gallons by 1895. Candler repositioned Coca-Cola from medicine to refreshment. Despite his opposition, bottling dramatically expanded the market beyond soda fountains. The distinctive bottle appeared in 1916. By the late 1930s, Coca-Cola claimed nearly half of American soft drink sales. Coca-Cola became truly global alongside American influence. 16 million servicemen carried it worldwide during World War II. During the Cold War, it symbolized Western capitalism. When the Berlin Wall fell in 1989, East Germans were greeted with Coca-Cola as freedom's symbol. Operating in over 200 territories, more than UN members, Coca-Cola became globalization itself. Yet even this powerful brand couldn't force acceptance, as the 1985 New Coke disaster proved. American soft drink sales peaked in 2004 and have declined since. Which beverage will define humanity's future? Ironically, the same one that first steered human development, water. While other drinks historically gained popularity because they were safer than contaminated water, modern purification has made clean water widely available. Yet bottled water sales reached $250 billion in 2018, surpassing soft drinks as America's most popular beverage in 2016. Despite widespread belief that bottled water is healthier, studies show it's no purer than tap water in developed nations. Up to 40% of bottled water in America comes from municipal supplies, including Aquafina and Dasani. Marketing misleads with images of pristine glaciers while concealing less glamorous sources. For roughly 2 billion people in developing nations, clean water remains life or death. The World Health Organization estimates 80% of global illness stems from waterborne diseases, killing about 525,000 children under 5 annually. Water scarcity hinders education and economic development while causing political tensions, particularly in the Middle East and Africa. With climate change threatening water distribution, water might replace oil as the resource most likely to trigger international conflict. Yet water's necessity often forces cooperation. The 1960 Indus Basin Treaty between India and Pakistan has survived despite repeated wars, demonstrating water's potential as both conflict cause and peace catalyst. Water, the first drink to steer human history, appears back in the driving seat. Someone from 5000 BCE wouldn't understand our languages or technologies, but they'd appreciate a glass of beer and recognize the communal toast. These six beverages provide windows to the past, each containing not just flavor, but history itself.